The first reading can be found on page 641 of the Church Bibles and is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The future house of God. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our gospel reading can be found on page 29, Matthew 26, verses 26 to 29. Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The institution of the Lord's Supper. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some occasions in life come and go and are soon forgotten. A nice day by the sea on a holiday break is fun to talk about for a little while, but in a week or two, we've forgotten about it. Sometimes we remember events for years, but even then, the memory fades. There are many graves in this 9-acre churchyard outside, but not all graves are tended. For some, there is not even memory now. But today, we have gathered for two different acts, both with themes of remembrance and gratitude. One looks back 100 years and a little longer. The other, our celebration of Holy Communion, first looks back, but only in order to look forward. And not just into the future, but into eternity itself. We shall be hearing later in the service a reflection on the acts of courage and selflessness offered by Sergeant Loosemore, more than 100 years ago, but still remembered. Part of what we're doing today is to pay tribute to his bravery, his faithfulness, and of the other servicemen buried here who served in the Great War. The celebration of Holy Communion is not a one-off. It's not every 100 years. We meet here every Wednesday morning to celebrate Holy Communion. We meet here every Sunday to celebrate Holy Communion. The worldwide Christian Church has been gathering to remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his rising for over 2,000 years. We read in the Bible that that will go on until the world arrives at the time referred to in our reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, a prophecy given nearly 3,000 years ago of a future time when the weapons of war will be repurposed for peace and the nations will live not in conflict but in harmony. Our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew is one of the Bible passages from which the Christian Church has drawn the celebration of the Holy Communion. We take bread and wine as Jesus has commanded that we should. We look back in remembrance of his sacrificial death for the forgiveness of sins. But we also look forward. And we look forward to that scene of peace in the eternal kingdom of God. We do not know what it will be like, what it will actually look like. But we know it will be glorious. There will be no sadness. All remembering will be happy. And we will be in that new relationship with God that Jesus' death and resurrection has made possible, that we were celebrating so recently here over the Easter weekend. Christians believe that beyond death, there is life. So today, in our remembrance of Sergeant Loosemore and others who served and gave the ultimate human gift of their very lives, we give thanks. We are glad to remember and to be grateful. But we also rejoice in the sacrifice made by Jesus Christ and the possibility of embracing his call and sharing fellowship with him in eternity, in the new life beyond death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. As you can see, I have the great honor of telling you something of the amazing and terrible life of Arnold Loosemore, VC, DCM. Arnold was born on the 7th of June, 1896, near Hunter's Bar, in Ecclesall. His father was a gardener, and he was one of seven sons who all attended Clifford School on Salter Lane. I have it written that the school is still there, but it isn't. I was advised this morning that it has moved, but that must be quite recent that it has moved. He was 19 and working on a farm in Fulwood when he enlisted in the army in January 1915. Very, very slim build. He was only 5 feet 4 inches tall. Joining the York and Lancaster Regiment, he then went to Turkey for the ill-fated Gallipoli campaign. Surviving this carnage, Arnold returned home for training on the Lewis machine gun before joining the 8th Battalion Duke of Wellington's Regiment on the Somme in 1916 for more carnage. As a machine gunner at the Battle of Passchendaele in Belgium on the 11th of August 1917, 21-year-old Private Arnold Loosemore displayed outstanding bravery in the face of the enemy, sufficient for the award of the medal above all medals, the Victoria Cross. He received this from the King, from King George V on Buckingham Palace on the 2nd of January 1918, and the following day he came to Sheffield for a civic reception at the Town Hall. Holding a VC, Arnold could have had a safe and cushy desk job for the rest of the war, but Arnold didn't do safe and cushy. So he returned to the front line and to the trenches. In June 1918, still in Belgium, the now Sergeant Arnold Loosemore's outstanding bravery on the battlefield was again recognised, this time for the award of the Distinguished Conduct Medal. Amazingly, only two other servicemen in World War I were awarded a DCM after winning the Victoria Cross. He's one of three only. Now, tragedy. Fighting in France, just 23 days before the end of the war, 23 days, he was badly wounded in both legs by machine gun fire. The muscles of his right leg were mostly shot away, and his left leg needed amputation above the knee. In May 1920, with his injuries, he was discharged from the army after treatment for his extensive wounds in military hospitals in Warrington and Leeds. After leaving the army, Arnold returned to Sheffield to live. In August 1920, he married Amy Morton at St. Andrew's Church in Sharrow. They began life together in a tiny courthouse on Stannington Road, and the following year had a son. Disabled and increasingly unwell, he tried to work. He tried to work, but couldn't. And the steep stairs of his courthouse became impossible for him to climb. Hearing this, the Rotary Club of Sheffield built Arnold a large wooden hut in a nearby field, and he slept there and did his photography. With his health undermined by war injuries, 100 years ago today, he died at home from tuberculosis, aged 27. The city responded by giving him a full military funeral. His cortege was watched by thousands of Sheffielders, paying their respects, who saw his coffin on a gun carriage pulled by four plumed horses, bringing it to this church for burial. However, this military grandness concealed poverty. The government had refused his wife Amy a war widow's pension on the grounds that she married him after discharge from the army, and she knew he'd lost a leg. The government's attitude was, you knew he was damaged goods before you married him. So they stopped her pension. Arnold's funeral was attended by prominent civic and military leaders. It was a big occasion. The church was packed, as well as people outside. But after the funeral, about 2 weeks after the funeral, the city council sent Amy the bill for the entire funeral. She was sent the bill for the funeral. Because Amy was so poor, her brave Victoria Cross husband had to be buried in an already occupied grave to save money. Yes. Amy died in 1956. And in death, she did something quite remarkable. On the 15th of February, 1956, she was buried in the same already crowded grave as Arnold. She is anonymously there. She's there with him anonymously. There is nothing on the headstone to say that she is there. Nothing. But she is. Knowing all this, the inscription on the headstone that Amy had put there is "Awaiting Reveille." How very, very, very touching that is.
They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.